The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C., before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back, as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stettmiller. It is, the heck day is this? Thursday already. 2nd of June, 2011. Some of you have noticed that Mike Rivero is no longer on Republic Broadcasting Network. He may now be listened to over at the Rents Radio Network. I'm happy, but I'm sad. I'm sad, but I'm happy. Well, bottom line on Mike Rivero was that he couldn't make any money doing a show on this network. And I found that kind of odd because he was on GCN for 3 years prior to being over here for almost a year. He was on since, what, last August? And he couldn't make a go of it. Well, evidently he contacted an advertiser, you know, the people who go out and get banner ads, and said, well, hell, we can't sell any ads for you over RBN. So what does he do? He goes over to Rents. Now, Rivero's website, it's ranked, I think, at 18. Rents's site, number one. Or was it Jones, number one? Yeah, that's what it was. Jones is one, Rents was 18, and what really happened was a little further down the line. Well, he's known as, you know, for his website, What Really Happened. As Rents is known by his website rather than his radio program. And I was kind of fascinated by this because after I'd sold Republic Radio International, Ted Anderson at the helm, had bags full of money to throw at the project, I was kind of grandfathered into that network, had a two-hour show, did a total of 10 hours a week, and then for a while with Jones on Saturdays. And I was able to pay all my bills. My wife was there at the home with the kid and doing. I was able to manage a living doing 2 hours of programming. Now, I'm a little confused because he was on GCN for 3 years prior to almost 1 year here. And he couldn't make it. And I guess he couldn't sell any advertising over there. I don't know. But he didn't want to talk about it. He had made up his mind, and that was it. Now, some of you are jumping up and down and saying, yeah, I'm glad. And others are saying, well, hell, I came over this network to listen to this guy. And some people are probably going to be a little upset. Well, you know what? That's what happens in broadcasting. People come and people go. And you know, I fended off the criticism. Did I like for one moment, you know, his position? Kill that break. The hell with the break. It doesn't feel like a break right now. And, you know, I fended off the criticism. Well, he's an atheist. Yeah, I knew he was an atheist. But what I didn't like was his position with people that were not. And, you know, there's an old axiom, you know, prior to the days of Patriot Broadcasting or alternative media, you know, people, there was an old axiom. I mean, two things, you know, you don't do in a your local bar, you know, half tanked up, is get into emotional discussions about religion, right? Religion's a big one. And politics. It's never-ending. Meant to be that way, by the way. But he never saw the advantage of not kicking sand in the Christian's face. I mean, he just never, and he was haughty and a little bit arrogant about that. And to, I don't know, to his credit or discredit, there were people that loved the guy. There were people that didn't have any use for him. But when the criticism came my way, I just simply said, do you listen to the show? I mean, the guy prepared on air for his 2 hours a day. He prepared at least a minimal of 2 hours a day. He was a professional. Did I appreciate his stance on certain things? No, I didn't. But again, that's not me. I don't want to do 24 hours of programming. There are people that are going to be of different opinion. They're going to see things differently than what you or I do. So I took a hell of a lot of criticism over that. And, you know, I wish the guy well. He just made a major mistake by doing that, but he does not know that. And for the life of me, I do not know why the guy could not make a living on this network doing a two-hour show with a website that he's got behind him. I just didn't understand that at all. But that was not up for discussion, so I didn't. Called him last Saturday night, wished him fairly well. He made the mistake, though. He says, well, you called me up to ask me to come back. I said, no, I didn't call you up to ask you to come back. That's your ego talking. What I'm just simply going to tell you is, what the hell, man? You know, no discussion, just nothing. And then he decides to go over Rentz. I like Jeff Rentz personally. I don't like what he does, because he came out of the days of, Art Bell. He patterned himself off of Art Bell, and Jeff had a lot of stations at one time, but he never broke that UFO thing. I mean, seriously, folks, if you want to be taken seriously in today's world, maybe you can get the people to watch reality TV. Maybe you can get those people. I don't have any use for them. They've got more time on their hands than they've got gray matter. But he never wanted to break that, because that was the audience he developed over all these years. I don't think it's out of fear. I think it's just going with what you know and what works. So Jeff is always going to go into his little UFO stuff, and that's fine. His audience seems to like that. And that's fine as well. But we've got every mother and their uncle out there now doing internet, what they call internet radio. Anybody that can buy a little camera, a little Logitech camera or whatever, and get on computer, and, well, they've got their own show. They're reversing their opinion. Well, that's good. How much of their material is accurate? You know, whatever, but it keeps dividing listening audiences. And some would say, well, that's a good thing. Yes and no. You know, there's one thing that we look at, and that's our freedom and our liberty, our country, hell, even our economy. Not based on the fiat system we've been handed, which is rapidly falling apart. But rather than people gathering together and going in one direction and giving support, the support keeps getting fractioned off. More and more and more and more. In a dwindling economy, people don't have money, they're not supporting the advertisers to keep the networks on the air, and on the story goes. So, you know, good luck to him. I wish him well. Good luck, Mike Rivero. But I have a funny feeling that in 2 or 3 months' time, he's going to be done with radio. He didn't ask me, gee, John, how can I make money doing this show? He wanted to do packages. He wanted radio stations. Well, everybody wants radio stations, but has somebody noticed something? people that make the jump from alternative to mainstream broadcasting, they got to pay to be there. They have to pay the radio stations to carry their program. They're not doing it out of loyalty to their country. They're not doing it because they care. They're not doing it because they're giving a leg up to somebody that they know is important. The information they're putting out is important. No. You want to play? You got to pay. And more, do you think that the radio stations out there and its content is being monitored very, very closely to craft the message that people are getting? You know, radio is not a free-for-all like internet is for information. Very tightly controlled. Very tightly controlled. So if your bank account is big enough and you sold enough DVDs or whatever to drum up the cash to go pay for your airtime, and I'm not excited about being between a Sean Hannity and a Rush Limbaugh. Thank you very much. Neocons all. Thank you, but no thank you. You know, that's why when I looked at the problem in communications, and the problem is people. Okay, let's just get that out of the way. It's human nature, it's people, it's their pride, it's their prejudices, their stupidity, and their brilliance. But sometimes the brilliance factor does not enter in before the stupidity and short-sightedness takes over. And I looked at this problem. Can you shut that door, please? Thank you. Jeez, is that my wife that just did that? I can't see her on the wall here. Shame on you, Sandra. Go ahead, show your face. Come on. Come on. At any rate, they don't know what to do. We have mainstream media. You know what it's about. You know who owns it. You know its message. You know what's being pumped. So here we are in the alternative media, knowing what we know, knowing damn full well that the rest of the population of this country needs to know what we know. They absolutely do. Is everybody going to heed the message? As they say, with eyes to see and ears to hear? Hell no, they're not. Not all of them. Is a good percentage of them going to? Yes, they will. But how is the message being managed? How is it getting out there? I've got no use for mainstream media whatsoever. Except, every once in a while, there's a story that'll run, and I'll play it on air. I'm fixing to do that. Here with an MSNBC report, MSN. At any rate, they're panicking. Wall Street's in an uproar. They finally sniffed it out, or now starting to admit to the public, hey, we got a problem, and it's called the Fed Reserve. Duh. Yeah, we knew. I've known that for 20 years. But I'm not interested in reacting to the mainstream media. I'm not interested in watching anybody that really deeply and honestly cares about their country, truly about their country, not about themselves. But they place their country above themselves. That is a selfless act. That's one that cannot be condemned. And I'm not interested in getting a mention from mainstream media because, quite frankly, I don't give a damn about them. The majority of them are paid whores. They will do anything for a paycheck, just like a street hooker will. Oh, but I won't kiss. So how to craft in communications a system of getting to the people? That's what I have been working on for a year and a half. And it's starting to pay dividends. Serious people, they're seriously seeing the vision that I have. You know, the really scary part to me personally is that I was the one that had to come up with this. That there weren't smarter people that saw this and said, wait a minute here. Let's look at this communications problem we seem to be having. I mean, seriously, I mean, it's like it's like Ron Paul and how the mainstream media treats him. They recognize him as being a danger to status quo. Their owners, their bosses understand and know that. So what do you think that they would think about bona fide alternative media getting a foothold and going face-to-face, toe-to-toe, in their face with the truth? They can have their BS and flim-flam and sparkle and all of that. They're going to die with it. They are dying with it. The unfortunate part is the country is dying as well. And if you don't have some paid-off politician selling you down the river, then you have your news services that refuse to do what? The real news. So, good, bad, or indifferent, like it or not, folks, the internet and the alternative media is the place to go. And I plan on being out there. I've not given up on this. Worked on it for a year and a half, starting to make strides with some very influential and important people that are now starting to get my vision. I don't want to, as I said before, I don't want to talk to tens of thousands of people. I don't want to talk to hundreds of thousands of people. I want to be talking to millions of people. Not for my freaking ego, not for my pocketbook, but because I'm on a mission to help save this country from the bastards that have been ripping it blind and the criminals that support the criminal activity. It's as simple as that. And most people will look at you and say, it can't be done. Really? Can't be done? Did the Wright brothers say that, you know, I got this idea about an airplane? Do you think Orville looked at his brother and said, nah, can't be done. Let's go back and build a new bicycle. You know, you're only a wingnut and you're only a failure until you succeed. Then everybody wants to join your party. Nobody will help build a dream for you, but they'll be more than happy to show up when the dream is realized. And they'll pat you on the back and tell you what a wonderful guy you are. Folks, you know me out there. I could give a rat's rear end about any of that. What I've been doing for the last 20 years, I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. This has not been a sheer pleasure to do. It has been arduous. It's been hard. At times, taxing beyond belief. Threatening personal relationships. I mean, you run the gamut. And it's been there. And I've never let that stop me. Because there was no reason to stop. The reason to continue is by some chance and some miracles and people that share a vision that they want their country back. I mean really back. Those people are still out there that have not heard the truth. Once they do, they're going to have to blow this whole damn country off the face of the map. They're going to have to do a scorched earth policy because I'm not going to satisfy myself with a compromise because there's no compromising on true freedom and liberty. There is no compromise. Let me take a phone call here. Sunny in Idaho. Hello, Sunny.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Well, I've been praying that you would listen to his show. It hurts my heart so much.
I'm sorry. Sunny, you'll have to speak up a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to. I'm very sick, and I have a very weak voice.
I'm sorry.
It hurts my heart so much to hear the things that comes out of his mouth.
Who are you talking about?
And Michael Rivera.
Well, hold on here a second, Sonny. I got to take the break. I skipped the last one. 800-313-9443. I'm going to get into some real hard news and information today that you got to hear, folks, because it's starting to crack on Wall Street. Remember what I said last week with Bob Chapman? It may be coming true. We'll be right back.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal, and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-489-0192. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-489-0192. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-489-0192. That's 1-800-489-0192.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees. But we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Poor Manimal. He's sitting in here doing a show, and the guy can't see literally a foot in front of his face. His glasses, he went to go get new glasses, and they screwed up his prescription. I told him, I said, all I needed was two Coke bottles and some coat hangers. I could have made you a set of glasses. So Manimal's in the control room today flying blind. Sunny in Idaho, look, Sunny, I understand your position with Mike Rivera, but understand what I said, that not everybody out there is put together like you are. Or put together like I am. And he did a good show. It's just there was particular subject matter that he took great pride in rubbing people's faces in it, and that was not good. But I handled the criticism on it, and I carried the show. He did a good show. He put out a lot of good information.
Yeah, he did, John. He put out a lot of good information, but you know what? If you hear somebody tell a lie on one thing, then it discredits them on everything else. And so for a very long time, I've been listening to him with a very suspicious attitude. And we don't need that right now. We don't need that right now. We've got to have the solid.
No, I understand that some.
You give the solid stuff.
Well, I thank you and understand and I appreciate what you just said, But again, not everybody is put together, Sonny, like you are. Their perceptions of the world are not going to mesh with yours. And I understand what you're saying perfectly. But, you know, there's a lot of people in this country that are agnostic, and a lot of them that are atheist as well. But they were still human beings. You know, and you used to hear me say on the air, you know, you can go to hell of your own accord if that's what you want to do. You know, but, you know, as far as the value of him as a broadcaster and putting out information, he was as good as it's ever been on this network, in my opinion. That's why he was there.
Yes, but, sweetheart, you know, if a man tells you something that is a lie, then how can you believe anything else he says? And there's the difference between you and the others.
Well, and I thank you and I appreciate that, but again, Sonny, not everybody shares your point of view, and what I wanted to do was get the information out to them, okay? I'm not advocating occultism or dancing with the devil in the pale moonlight. What I didn't like Mr. Rivero doing is rubbing people's noses in it. That's what I did not appreciate.
He did.
Yeah. And that
he offended a lot of people. I sent a lot of people to your network to listen to your show and to listen to his. And they came back to me and said, I can't listen to this stuff.
Yeah, well, and again, Sonny, I appreciate your sentiments. My dear, try colloidal silver. What's wrong with you, by the way?
Oh, wait a minute. One last thing.
Yeah.
The main point was his vulgarity.
Okay. And again, and again, you're dealing with the world here that they're in a vulgar state. Is that a word? If not, I just invented one. But, you know, are they... From your standard or my standard or somebody else's moral high ground standard, are they going to, maybe not, are they going to be educated enough to say, you know what, regardless of my religious beliefs or spirituality or whatever, am I able to join in this fight and at least get my country back so I'm left alone?
Well, you understand that this is a spiritual fight. I can tell because of the people you have on. I mean, Hungarian George and these other people.
Yeah.
God love him. You understand that this is a spiritual fight. When we drop ourselves down to the lowest common denominators, we're putting ourselves in the loser position. You have some people on your program that are so uplifting and so motivating, John. So motivating that I can't thank you enough. I mean, and that's what we have to have. We have to motivate people. And we have to help them understand that this is not flesh and bone. They have the technology to take us out in 10 seconds.
Yes, ma'am, they do.
And we have got to have, we've got to have the motivation in our heart to stand up against that, against all the odds. I mean, this is their answer to feeding us to the lion.
No, I get all that. Okay, Sonny, I'm going to have to let you go here. But before I go, what is your ailment? What's making you sick?
Oh, I've been fighting cancer for about 10 years, and I've been winning. Unfortunately, my husband lost.
I'm sorry to hear that. I am sorry to hear that.
It's okay.
I don't expect Mike Rivera to say a prayer for you, but maybe somebody out there in this listening audience will, Sonny. Thanks for your call, my dear.
Sing every day. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generations.
To the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
So, what is there to do? There is so much to do. Got a couple $1 billion. We'll start up our own television network. No, don't have that? What do we do? Well, it's a good thing that there are some people out there that understand broadcasting. More importantly, understand the information. And then set about relaying that to the people. You know, Internet's great. But Internet's got as much false stuff on it that it does true stuff. And the only way that you're going to ferret your way through that mess is to have some bedrock truths, to have the wisdom to see something for what it is. And we have probably, no, I will say, we have the best educated radio audience in U.S. radio history. And that's quite an accomplishment. If we can take this mainstream and talk to the millions of people, you people are going to become rather important. Whether you know it or not, you're going to have a role in this as well. Because you know doggone right well. The people arguing from their own fear and ignorance. You know, you could be on a commercial jet getting ready to auger into the ground. And there will people that will sit there and argue with you about it. Me, my last few minutes of my life, I'll make my parting shots and have done with it. But you'll have people argue with you that rain's not wet and this, you know, the sky's not blue on a clear day and, you know, the sun rises in the west. Flat earthers. They're going to argue to death. But this is where you come in. You're going to be having to have the ability to speak to millions of people. The educated radio audience that knows what's what. When that starts to happen, you're going to see major changes taking place. I want these people to understand, no matter what state you're in, once educated, imagine this. Imagine taking 40 million people, slapping them upside the head, telling them what went wrong with their country and why what's going on right now is never going to work. Do you want your life back? And what do you think the response from the general public is going to be? Well, yeah. You know, what does the mainstream media do? You know, people that should be president, like Ron Paul, he's not going to be. Because they're there to block that. They're there to keep the matrix intact until we sink to the bottom of the ocean. They don't care. I do. You do. But you're going to have a role in this as well. Because when they start hearing other callers calling in that have the basis of knowledge that you do, that gives credibility. The mainstream media does its level best to ridicule anybody that's an alternative as a bunch of anti-government, wingnut, anti-Semitic, you've heard it all. I'm not interested. I just want to go toe-to-toe with them because the truth will win out. Their lies and their BS will not. Lee in Georgia. Hello, Lee.
Hey, John. How you doing? We got this crazy old air conditioning unit running in the background, so if you hear something, that's what it is.
Well, can you take a few minutes and shut it off?
How about I step outside? How's that? Better?
Well, I don't know.
Well, I'm outside. Hopefully that's better.
Okay.
Anyway, the only thing I run on the thing is the fan because I can't do air conditioning. It drives me out.
Lee, I don't care about your air conditioner.
Well, Sonny's call was great, got me thinking. I'll be honest with you, I was actually tickled earlier today when I found out Mike was no longer with RBN. But, you know, yes, he provided a lot of great information. But one of the big problems I have with people, and this is in the Patriot community as well, is hypocrisy. And especially when it's the absolute ignorance that they're being a hypocrite, that they don't realize it and you try to call their attention to it, that really frustrates me. And I'll give you an example. Today was a perfect example where Sonny was talking about vulgarity. Mm-hmm. I remember a couple months ago where somebody called in, and they were talking about the bankers. And the gentleman called in, and he was discussing his frustration with the banks and asked a basic simple question that boiled down to, and this was pretty much his words, who the hell do these damn people think they are? Well, Mike immediately, don't talk like that on my show. Now, how many people were listening to Mike today? It was a rebroadcast. Did you catch it twice within less than a half hour's time? The level of hypocrisy in this man when it comes to language, how can you say things like, you're my bitch now? Or, you know, when he was talking about the politicians, how they P-U-S-S out. How can you criticize somebody for asking a question like, who the hell do these damn people think they are, and then turn around and use that kind of language live on air?
Yeah.
The level of hypocrisy is just, it's disgusting.
Well, and
I'm seeing this in the Patriot community, too, when they talk the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, how all men are created equal and endowed by their creator, but yet if someone's not Christian, they're atheist, they're agnostic, or maybe they're a Hindu or a Buddhist, or they're homosexual, they viciously attack these people. Wait a minute. Stop the hypocrisy.
You know,
and this is the problem I'm having with the Patriot community,
yeah,
because I have a very hard time aligning myself with these types of people. And if you want me on your side, folks, you got to stop attacking each other and focus on the real enemy,
yep.
The bankers,
yep.
the politicians, the global elite, the Congress critters,
mm-hmm.
You know, all of these people. We need to focus on the real enemies and stop attacking each other.
I even played an Alex Jones clip the other day.
And I'm not an Alex Jones fan. I've met Alex, okay? He's really not a bad guy, but I think he's an idiot. And I think most people are idiots. Alex puts out a lot of great information, even though he is, in my opinion, a Jesuit propaganda spin artist. He still puts out good information, and I'll back up what he says is factual, but I'll condemn him when he starts stretching it out. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and that...
I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
If what you're saying is true, I will back you up. But if you start telling lies, you start acting hypocritically, no, I'm going to call you on it, and I don't care who you are. I'm not afraid of anyone.
That's how you make a better product. That's how you make a better human being.
Oh, and John, you guys at RBN may be picking up some new listeners today, because guess where I got to spend half my day today?
Local radio station?
At Aaron's Rental. I paid off my computer today. And then I spent about a half hour at the bank. And everybody at the bank got your business cards. They got the website address, the whole spiel. And so you need to get me a chance to wake some folks up.
All righty. Lee, I thank you for your call, sir.
All right, man. You have a great day.
All right. Go turn your air conditioner back on. I know it's hot down there. Speaking of the banks, our wonderful banking buds and pals, Joe Rizzoli ended up in the Metro West Daily News in the opinion. They actually printed his opinion, which is kind of shocking. Rizzoli, ADL, the bully on the block. He's from Framingham. I do believe that's Massachusetts. The May 25th, 2011 Framingham Hall Town Hall meeting had local residents and town meeting member Jim Rizzoli question the police department as to their relationship with the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League. As to Jim Rizzoli's comments about the ADL, here's a bit of ADL history. Leo Frank, a New York businessman, was lynched in Georgia for killing a young American girl, Mary Fagan, who worked in his pencil factory in 1913. The case was notable because Jewish elements from all over the world banded together to create a pressure group to rehabilitate the image of the murderer. Such groups amassed great wealth and power and even managed to secure a posthumous pardon for Frank. Today, they are active in trying to stifle freedom of speech. One such group, the Anti-Defamation League, has authored so-called hate laws, which attempt to penalize anyone who stigmatizes minorities, aliens, and homosexuals. That being said, the ADL has gotten way out of control in individual towns and municipalities, and Jim asking I'm from Michigan, and there's Farmington, Michigan. Every time I see this word, I think it's Farmington. Framingham Police Chief Stephen Carl, information about that organization as to how much influence the ADL has with the police, and that was a legitimate question. Chief Carl was very evasive. He claimed a professional relationship, whatever that means, and said that the ADL has some sort of educational value to the police department. My point here, having the ADL work with the police in any manner is like having a white supremacist group work with the police for educational purposes. Other towns have problems with the ADL. It's become a new bully on the block. Ask other towns such as Watertown to find out what they have done to stop the ADL. I am just amazed that they even printed that, but print it they did. And it's legitimate criticism. But you know what that can be deemed as? Guess what? Hate speech. Amazing. Back to the telephones, Curtis in Austin. Hello, Kurt.
Yeah, hi. I really liked the conversation today. In fact, you brought up a good point about agreeing or disagreeing, because I was listening to the Common Sense Show, and they had Steve Emerson on, and he got blasted with calls about people, because he had worked for U.S. News and World Report and CNN, and he was pretty much a blatant Zionist, I think, you know, I assume so. And he got lots of calls, and one caller was like, I'm going to, you know, let him know that I think he should be pulled off the air. And you make a really good point about the different points of view and agreeing with everything that one, you know, like, to be honest, I came over to RBN with Mike Rivero, and because I'm in, from Austin, and I listen to Alex, well, I listen to RBN or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so now it's cool because, I don't know, I can pick and choose, like, all three networks and get the best of all of it. And if it's any consolation, you know, any consolation or whatever, I'm glad Rivero came over because then I discovered you guys. And like you said, it's just the nature of broadcasting, and I think it was, that was the best point.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we're all in this together, and, you know, and there's always infighting, and always has been, there probably will be. But I just wanted to throw that in, and I still like Mike Rivero, and I don't agree with everything either. But anyway, I just want to give you a heads up on that because okay. I am one of the people that came over to RBN because of him, and, of course, I'll stick here as well. The vast majority of your programming is just pretty spot on, and I appreciate it.
Okay.
I just wanted to throw that in.
Thank you, Curtis. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right. That's objectivity. That's what that is. That's common sense in practice. I want to play this clip for you if I can find the doggone thing. Oh, wait a minute. It's on our own site. I had you post that today, or... Was it my news guy that thought he had to go into the knife today and is back on the job? Did you? Not you. Okay. Well, then he did. Well, I'm glad he did. And I sent the email to the wrong person. At any rate, I figured he was out of the box today. I'll get around to this here. Here we go. That is not the story I'm after. Okay, we'll keep going here until we find it. You know, it really helps to have a producer. Here we go. It is coming unglued on Wall Street, most assuredly. And this was on CNBC yesterday. Now, it's an 11-minute clip, but I want you to pay attention to what is being talked about here. And remember what I said on not this past Tuesday, the Tuesday before, when Bob Chapman joins us on Tuesdays. Now, here's the dialogue. The market took a pretty hefty dive yesterday. It's shaking them up. I want you to listen closely to what they are saying here. Because we talked about a QE3. We know what the Fed's game is. We know if they stay on this track that it's going to destroy what's left of this economy. Here's the gaggle of the group from CNBC.
Welcome back to Squawk on the Street. May ISM manufacturing really weak. It went from 60.4 to 53.5. Keep in mind, 60.4 is 1 point under the February read, which was a seven-year high. 53.5, looking quickly, looks like to be the lowest level since September of 2009. Prices paid, though, did move down from 85.5 to 76.5. Construction spending a little older. April number, this came in better than expected. We were looking for up 2 to 3 tenths. Came out up 4 tenths, but last month they just revised it away. It was a robust 1.4. It only remains up 1/10. That's it. And the market reaction is obvious. We were breaching 3% before the number. We're at 298 in a 10-year. Equities aren't enthralled with it. Let's see what Steve Leisman thinks. It's all yours, Steve.
Hey, Rick, thanks very much. Hey, you see a theme here? A number that comes in both lower than the previous month and one that comes in lower than expected. This number, the PMI, the ISM, really scoring on both counts. And just looking at the details here, one positive here is you did have a decline in the employment index, but not such a low level, 58.2 from 62.7. Production fell 54. Exports were 55. These numbers are okay in and of themselves. If you're just sort of coming out of a recession, they would be okay numbers. But for numbers where you're trying to look for the economy to be gaining momentum, this thing shows that we've lost some momentum and does raise questions about the soft patch. Clearly, the importance of this number, it is the first national number for the month of May. And really, Melissa, goes right along with what we've seen from some of the Fed indices, for example, the New York Fed Index, which came in lower than expected. Melissa?
Rick, what you mentioned in terms of 2.98% on the 10-year, that's got to be the lowest since at least December, probably earlier.
Yes, that's correct. The lowest since the first week in December, and anything fixed income is taking you back to that same point in time, whether you look at how flat tens to twos are, they're the tightest since that period in time. Bonds are playing around at levels that we haven't seen probably a month earlier, so we're looking in early January. Yes, these are extreme levels, and they underscore how the treasuries continue have all along to maybe give you the best forecasting gauge of a weak economy, even though we know it's distorted for other buying reasons as well.
And Rick, is it the best forecasting gauge of what the Fed is going to do now? You have to wonder if inside some of these yields here is some thinking that maybe the Federal Reserve comes back into the game. As I said in the last hour, I think the bar is higher maybe than the market thinks, but clearly at under 3%, you have to wonder if there's a bid inside this number of some help from the central bank.
Steve, well, I think you bring up a great point.
But Steve, when we had
when
we had the last minute, Steve, wasn't all the talk only about the exit strategy? And at that point, didn't you say that QE3 was clearly not on the Fed's agenda? So therefore, has the Fed got it wrong if now we're talking about the need possibly for QE3? Is the economy underperforming what Ben Bernanke, the great expert of the Great Depression, was forecasting?
Wouldn't be the first time the Fed had it wrong at a critical turning point. The only thing in its favor right now is that it hasn't made any policy. It was, if you will, Simon, call it an immaculate exit strategy discussion. They talked about it without any discussion of the timing. So they just wanted to have that discussion and try to all get on the same page of what they would do if they were to exit. So they didn't talk about the timing of it. But yes, the flavor of the discussion was more about getting out. And I think right now, if you had to ask a few Federal Reserve Bank presidents or governors, the flavor of that discussion would be more about the parameters for getting back
Steve,
in.
Let's bring it to the stocks. Bertha Coombs joins us from the floor, tracking what the market is doing. The good news at this point, Bertha, is we have bounced from the initial losses. I think we were down 30 points on just 2 minutes in the Dow.
Yeah, the Dow was down about 93, and we've bounced off of that. Looks like we're trying to find our equilibrium here. The VIX, the indicator of volatility, some people call it the fear gauge, is higher here. We're at 16.5 on the VIX. But one thing that traders are talking about is that people seem to be accepting this bad news with a bit of equanimity, and that kind of troubles them. They would think that the market would be down more on all of this disappointing data that we're getting. All of the sectors appear to be down. We did get a little bit of movement in energy. Marathon Oil, that $3.5 billion deal for the Eagle Ford shale assets from KKR and from Hilcorp. That's the biggest shale purchase in that South Texas region that we have seen. And that's given a little bit of a bid to some of the shale players there, like Pioneer Resources.
I think one thing that may be behind the bid here real quickly is that this is not out of line with the story, if you want to tell it, that it's still a temporary slowdown. You can spin a permanent or a temporary off of this data. At the current level of the ISM at 53, the economy is still growing, manufacturing is still growing. You can't look at this number and say, hey, I abandon all hope on the recovery.
But it's not just us, Steve. You know, we got a slow number from China, relatively a little more disappointing than expected.
Right.
Their PMI at 52.
Right.
We got slower growth numbers from India yesterday, Korea, as well. And then on top of that, we have this concern about inflation. What's interesting to me today is that people are flocking to the 10-year. We're down below 3% here on a yield. They're not flocking to gold. It seems as though they're trying to figure out what the next move here is.
Yeah, it is interesting because we are seeing a dollar weakness, which is certainly taking some of the wind out of all the commodities, even the safe havens. Guys, stay right there. Let's bring in Peter Yastro, market strategist at DT Trading. Peter, there is a glass half full side to this whole argument if we are to believe that QE3 is sort of put back on the table as a possibility, and that is for the markets, for traders, that could be viewed as a good thing.
Now, hang on here, because this guy lets the cat out of the bag.
Yeah, I'm with Yastro Oerger, but just to be clear, what we've got right now is almost near panic going on with money managers and people who are responsible for money. They cannot find the yield, and you don't want to just be putting your money into commodities or things that are punts that might work out and they might not, depending on what happens with the economy. We need to find real yield and real returns on these assets.
So where do you
go? That's why you're flocking to, you know, you see bad data, you see the Treasuries rally, you see all bonds and all fixed income rally, and then the people who are betting against U.S. economy, they start throwing money at getting bearish on stocks. It's a huge mistake. Interest rates are amazingly low. And that, thanks to Ben Bernanke, is driving everything. You know, I keep making the point, you know, there's a difference between Ben Bernanke and Harry Houdini. Ben Bernanke's not a magician. We're on the verge of a great, great depression. The Fed knows it. We have many, many homeowners who are totally underwater here and cannot get out from under. The technology frontier is limited right now. We definitely have an innovation slowdown, and the economy is going to suffer. And all the Fed tweaking and all the interest rate tweaking and all of the tax adjustments are actually not going to be able to save us if we cannot get a cost of labor that's in line with the rest of the planet, and we can't get our productivity levels high enough to justify the wages we're already getting paid.
So
it's
you
not
don't
that
see
complicated.
You don't see a replay of last summer where we get this bit of a float from the Fed and things start coming back?
No, because last summer, the U.S. government used $1 trillion of stimulus. We're a $14 trillion economy. So if they did that over 2 years, that's $500 billion over $14 trillion, which works out to about 3%, 3.5%, if my math in my head's right. So we're talking about 3.4% growth just from the U.S. government stimulus package. So I think we could really quickly see the U.S. GDP numbers back below 1%. But that being said, I wouldn't sell stocks, and any bears out there better be really careful, because the dividend yields on these stocks look awesome relative to all the other investment vehicles out there. So bears are going to have to find a new way to express their discontent with our economy, because selling S&Ps is a recipe for disaster.
Steve Liesman, a lot of people at home might be sitting there a bit confused. You hear Peter Yastra on one hand saying that money managers are in near panic, and panic is a very strong word. You also see Rick's market, the bond market, telling us that there is a reason to be concerned as well. And you sit there at Englewood Cliffs looking at your data, and your analysis tells you that the economy is not as bad a shape as everybody else thinks.
No,
it
seems like it seems like in the wake of the financial crisis, we have only two gears out there. We're either cruising along in fifth gear, or we're basically stopped here. I think there's room for other gears out there. I think we can be kind of going through a soft patch here for a series of temporary reasons. There are some economists, for example, who say, here's what happened. We had employers basically overreacted to the spike in oil prices. That's one. You have the Greek factor back again. You have auto supply disruptions from the Japanese tsunami. You know, I think Rick is right to be very skeptical, as he is, of these temporary factors. It does feel like, though, we have had a series. It feels like the better play right now would
but
be
Steve,
to be a little bit
Steve,
defensive, but not necessarily
the foot,
crawl into a foxhole.
The pedal is on the floor. As far as the Federal Reserve is concerned, it is full speed ahead, and still we're getting data like this. That is that.